Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
I'm Jamie Floyd, in for Brian Lehrer, and everyone is talking about The Help, Catherine Stockett's incredibly popular novel about black domestic workers and the women who employed them in the South during the 1960s, has been made into a movie, and it arrived in theaters last night. Here's a clip.
You said to write about what disturbs me, particularly if it bothers no one else.
I'd like to write something from the point of view of The Help.
I want to interview you.
No maid is ever going to tell you the truth. That's a hell of a risk to take in Jackson, Mississippi.
Courage isn't just about being brave. It's about overcoming fear and daring to do what is right for your fellow man.
What changed your mind?
God. And Miss Hilly Holbrook.
Everyone may be talking about The Help, but not all the talk is good. While fans of the book are genuinely excited to see it come to life on the big screen, others are expressing concerns that the film may not portray the Jim Crow South and segregation accurately. If Stockett's novel presented a feel-good vision of segregation, they worry the film version may be even more removed from reality than was the book. It's too early to know, of course, what ticket sales will be this weekend or whether the performances of the main character, Skeeter, played by Emma Stone, and the two black domestic workers, Abilene, played by Viola Davis, and Minnie Jackson, as portrayed by Octavia Spencer, will draw any Oscar nods, but it's never too early to have a conversation. Joining me now to discuss The Help, the book, the movie, and the controversy is Dr. Sherry Parks. She is an associate professor in the Department of American Studies at the University of Maryland, and David Edelstein is the chief film critic for New York Magazine. Welcome to you both.
Thank you.
Well, first things first, I love, David, how you start your review of The Help. You write, "The novel The Help is beloved for showing white people the world of domestic servitude through the eyes of black women and reviled in some quarters as a white author's misappropriation of black women's experience." And then you add, as a white man, quote, "My view of this controversy is easily stated. I have no idea who's right." So that's a pretty frank statement up front. So David Edelstein, with that out of the way, you reviewed the movie, The Help, for New York Magazine. In the most general terms, how is the movie as a movie?
Well, the movie as a movie is a three or four handkerchief film, depending on your tolerance for that sort of thing. It's a hard movie to fight off because it deals with things with injustices that really cut to the quick. And I think that what's useful to say here is that it really is it's a white movie, and it's a white woman's vision, and I think a white man's vision, the film. I think that it's important to see this as an attempt at a kind of penance. The only character that has any real depth or stature in both the book and the movie is the white character, the one who has this load of racial guilt to carry. And I think we see everything else through her eyes. Everything else is a lot of stereotypes, whether it's the stereotype of the strong black woman, or the stereotype of the sassy black maid. I think it's a real workout for white people. I'm not sure that blacks are going to sit through this movie and say that's my story up there. I really don't think so. I think it's false on that level.
You've taken us directly to where we want to go, and we also want to hear from our listeners who saw the movie last night, not just whether you liked it or didn't, but also precisely what David Edelstein is talking about. Do you think it accurately represents American history, especially that important period in the South in the 1960s, or if you plan to go see the film tonight. Do you want to see a civil rights docudrama or more of a sisterhood storyline? 212-433-9692. I'm so sorry. 433-9692. I have it tattooed on my arm, I promise you. That's 212-433-WNYC or go to WNYC.org and post a comment on our page. Now, let's back up a little bit. The movie, of course, is based on the book. It was a surprise bestseller. It started with that quiet release in 2009. We can't assume everyone has read the book. Certainly everyone has not. There are two black housekeepers, as we've mentioned. They work for white families in Jackson, Mississippi. And the worlds are turned upside down when Skeeter returns home from college with pesky questions about segregation in the South. Questions like, why are the black maids subordinated so much that they can't use the family bathroom and yet are trusted to care for the same family's children? Stockett, the author, was raised in Jackson, Mississippi with a black maid, but she insists the book was not autobiographical. So let me turn to Dr. Sherry Parks. Is it always a problem, doctor, or I guess I should say problematic, and this picks up right on David's point, for a white person to write about the black experience?
It is not always problematic, but I think choosing to use black women's stories carries with them a responsibility to try to get it right. What I think is really interesting and honest about what David said is that this is a story that black women know. What's really paradoxical about that phenomenon, not what David said, but how he describes it, is that this is something that occurred in white homes. So it's a secret that was right out in the open, that people with power and money to hire black women don't need to know about the lives of those black women.
Well, at least she's got us talking about race, Dr. Parks.
Yeah, yes, she does. We should note that there is a lawsuit that suggests that maybe there's another Abilene in her family whom she may be drawing upon, her brother's nanny, and he's siding with that Abilene. So it may not be pure fiction.
Yes.
And yes, the question is, who is we? Evidently, there was some assumption that black women would not be reading this book. I read something to that effect in some of the early reviews of the book, which is very interesting because black women actually read a great many books. I mean, they're actually one of the most active book purchasers. And so this should have been anticipated, but the reaction of black people to books like this and to movies like this is part of, I think, the difficulty with doing black movies and black books is that you're going to get some very painful reactions. I mean, this is a painful idea for African Americans. Having your mom go to work for another family has often been discussed as a point of pain. So it's a pretty sore point.
I think it should be said that Catherine Stockett is, you know, very, very sympathetic to that, and she in the movie, in fact, begins with Skeeter Phelan posing the question, "What was it like for you to come and raise another person's child while leaving your own child at home?"
Oh,
so the film opens. I mean, it homes in directly on this guilt, this terrible guilt,
and she has talked about how painful it is for her to hear the criticism. And as you point out, Doctor, this may have been unwitting oversight on her part because this book was a runaway and surprise bestseller. It was not initially on the New York Times bestseller list and slowly climbed there and then took off. Let's take a call from Judy in Port Washington. Judy, you are on WNYC with my guest, Sherry Parks of the University of Maryland. A doctor in American Studies, and David Edelstein.
Thank you. I wanted to say I've read the book. I look forward to seeing the movie. I don't usually finish the books before I go see the movies, but I couldn't put this one down. And I found it very enlightening. I'm white. I'm not able to judge how true it is to black experience. But for me, it gave me a window into at least two situations that I hadn't really appreciated. One is how trapped the white women are and how few options any women have, but especially these white suburban wives, you know, they have so little that they can turn to in their lives if they don't like where they are. And, I mean, Skeeter almost doesn't climb out.
Yeah. And the second issue you were enlightened about.
The other is the all-pervasive fear in the black community. How, I mean, we hear the big events, the fire hoses and the dogs, but we don't, I never thought about everyday life and what it means if somebody spreads a rumor that you stole the silver. So that was an eye-opener for me also. And the bottom line for me is it has helped me understand people that I could not understand before.
Judy, thank you so much for your call. And Dr. Park, I want to come to you on this and actually talk about the lawsuit in the context of Judy's call. And I don't want to make the whole segment about the lawsuit because as a lawyer, I'm tempted to get bogged down in the minutiae of this lawsuit. But there is a claim related to the taking of stories without retribution, without attribution. And would you speak to that in light of what Judy says, that it enlightened her to stories of black women and even as a white woman, she feels, enlightened her in ways she might not otherwise have been enlightened?
And I think that enlightenment is very important. I know you're a lawyer, and I don't want to get bogged down either, but I think I do need to say that Stockett does essentially what Skeeter does, that she is taking black women's stories without direct attribution. Early on, she did get attacked for essentially being a white woman who wrote a book about black people, and I'm certainly not doing that. I think that was the moment in which she could have come forward and said, yes, this is based on some stories of people I know, and these are some examples of the women that I know, and she didn't do that, and I think that's when she got into trouble. I do need to say that we only think about intellectual property when people have power. We rarely think of the intellectual property of people who don't have power. And I think this is an example of that.
David Edelstein, let me come to you. You saw the movie last night. I know you've seen, the chief film critic there at New York, Precious, The Blind Side. I have my opinions of those movies. But this movie will be cited as a celebration of strong, intelligent black women. I know I'm putting you on the spot.
I don't know.
How are the women portrayed? And I read your review, and you did cite, of course, the very strong performances of the actresses. That's a separate issue, is it not?
Well, yes. I mean, I think in Professor Park's book, which I'm halfway through and I'm enjoying immensely, and I recommend without qualification.
Please tell us about that.
She talks a great deal about the sort of the origins of Aunt Jemima and the whole black mammy stereotype. And one of the very smart things that the filmmakers have done is taken this role of Abilene, which could very easily have been an Aunt Jemima figure, and cast it with Viola Davis, who is the opposite of a mammy type. In fact, she has probably the hardest eyes of any actress I know. There's kind of no yield. There's no give back in those eyes. It is, you know, she's not a fusser and a Hattie McDaniel type, and she's not a big woman. She's not one of these solid large women. So immediately they kind of dry that out and toughen it up, and use, I think, Viola Davis's natural anger in the part. And I think, you know, whether or not they did that consciously, you know, the movie in the same way, I think, fights against those stereotypes and soft pedals a lot of them. So it makes it, it's a very smart, very effective film. I mean, it's a great soap opera. I just don't know that, it teaches, that it will teach anyone, that it will tell anybody anything that they don't already know.
And yet there is this celebration of the strong, intelligent black woman in the mythology, at least, Dr. Parks, of American Hollywood. Let's step away from the book for a moment.
Yeah.
And talk about Hollywood. And we can, of course, look at what some of our Facebook writers are writing about. Tom wrote he'd like to see an updated version of West Indian Nannies in Park Slope. Michael
where
wrote,
I
have an uneasy feeling about books written by white people about a different culture and purportedly identifying, that's in quotes, with them. And another person wrote, I love the book, but I'm uneasy about the movie. It is just going to be another Hollywood interpretation. And then another writes, I feel that we are slipping backwards in Hollywood, back to the roles that we played so long ago. And she doesn't cite it, but of course we all think of Gone with the Wind, right, Doctor?
Well, I think it's very interesting that all of the conversation about the Help has not opened us up to a conversation about the women who are still working in American homes, because I do think that this is an exercise in mythology, which is it's what cultures do. I'm not saying that that's necessarily an awful thing. I mean, but we've had The Secret Life of Bees, we've had Precious. A lesser-known book that hasn't been made into a movie yet is The Shack, where the strong, intelligent black woman is a divine being, and it was on the New York Times bestseller list for 138 consecutive weeks,
mm-hmm.
52
yes.
weeks at number one. So there is a celebration, and David, thank you for the compliment about my book, which actually traces this mythology from divine beings up into the present and argues that the strong, intelligent black woman is serving a larger role in the culture, which is why she keeps coming back up. That role being a subservient role, I think, is what really makes people uneasy about it. But I've given talks about – I gave a talk at a retirement home where I talked about my book, and the counselor said that it was a very affluent retirement home where she said they had never talked about the speech before, and they just opened up and started talking about the black women who had raised them, who had saved them, who had protected them. That image is very rich and real in American culture. We just don't quite know how to mm-hmm. handle it.
And let's take a call from Ted in Montclair, New Jersey. Ted, you are on WNYC with our guest speaking about The Help, both the book and most especially the movie, which has just been released in theaters. And Ted, we're very tight on time, so please, I hate to ask you to do it, but if you could make your comments brief.
I'll keep it to 15 seconds or less. I just don't, Hollywood being Hollywood, this is just another story. I'm a black male with deep roots from the South, and I don't invalidate her perspective on how black help, you know, what emotions they exhibited or how they were treated. I mean, this is, you have to take it for what it is. This is a white woman's perspective on black life as a maid, and that's the end of it. I mean, you can't change her reality by saying it's invalid or there's another black experience that she forgot to touch upon.
Well, let me just raise one thing in response to that, and that is this idea that what Catherine Stockett
10 seconds
said,
for you.
Oh, sorry,
David.
Catherine Stockett, you know, really believes that she was truly loved by her nanny. You know, she believes that this relationship was in some way more real than the one with her own parents. Is that a myth that white people tell themselves? Would in fact would black women have a much different way of characterizing that relationship? The Help does not raise or explore that issue at all.
And
can I jump in here?
I'm afraid I'm so out of time. We'll continue to explore the issue with a great thanks to both our guests, Dr. Sherry Parks, David Edelstein. Thanks to you both. And I'm Jamie Floyd, in for Brian Lehrer. Tomorrow, the best of Brian Lehrer. And I'll be back on Monday. Thank you so much for listening.